Well, it is indeed a privilege to be with you this morning and to share together. It is a blessing to be in church on a Sunday morning and to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you. That'd be good. I always say you can tell how long the congregation wants you to preach by how big a glass of water they give you. This is kind of medium-sized, so relax, it should be okay. I appreciated those songs that we sang in worship, and it's always a blessing for me when I share, and I look for ways that maybe God is directing in the service. And some of the songs that we sang this morning about the faithfulness of God, Almighty God, faithful through the ages, amen, hallelujah. And then because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. As I thought about those two songs, it really touched my heart. Because that's some of the things that I want us to think about this morning. As we think about a faithful God. A faithful God. And as being his children, that we not live in fear. But that we go forward with power of God in our lives. This morning, I'm going to be sharing from Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the first 9 verses. You can pull your Bibles out and maybe I'll make a few comments here before I read this passage. And as I look at this passage, it's an exciting passage when we see how God moved and how he worked here in the life of Joshua and in the children of Israel. And I really want to be keying in this morning on verses 7 and 8, maybe 7, 8, and 9. But I am going to kind of go down through this chapter because there are points that I believe that God would have us as a church to understand today. But here in Joshua, we have an extremely important passage of Scripture. It was a crucial time for God's people. It represents a monumental time in history for the children of Israel. You see, God made a promise. God made a covenant to Abraham. What did God tell Abraham? He said, I am going to give you this land. God made a promise to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. God made a promise. I believe that was 700 years prior to this chapter. And here we are. We know Moses. Let me back up. Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. Of course, we understand they were in bondage. They were in Egypt. And Moses comes along. And God used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of captivity, out of Egypt. And here we are, 40 years after that, Joshua is standing on the banks of the Jordan River. Could you imagine what must have been going through his mind? I mean, Moses had just died. Israel was about to enter into the land that was promised to them. Can you imagine what Joshua must have been feeling? At that very moment, the anticipation of entering into the promised land, it was about to take place. I'm sure Joshua had to remember 40 years previously how he, along with the other 11 spies, were sent out into this promised land to spy out the land. Of course, we know the account how 12 spies went out, 10 came back with a bad report, and they said, you know what, the land is great, but we cannot do it. We cannot do it. What did Joshua and Caleb said? By God's help, we can. We can move forward. And of course, we remember the story, how those 10 spies turned the hearts of the people to fear and doubt. You know the story. They didn't go in. They didn't enter into the land. And they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And here we are. Now Moses dies. Moses dies, and God has called Joshua to be Moses' successor. Boy, you want to talk about big shoes to fill. Here we are, Joshua, standing on the banks of the Jordan River, and as God is going to commission him to enter into the promised land. And you know, as we look at this passage, God is right there with him. He is right there to lead him every step of the way. And in a sense, in this passage, in this passage, we get to listen to the conversation that God has with Joshua. Now we're hearing, as we read this, we see what God was saying to Joshua. And right here in verse 1, the Lord spoke to Joshua. But I couldn't help but think, I wonder what all was going through Joshua's mind as God laid out the plan that he had for Joshua to lead the children of Israel. I want to read this out of the New King James. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. If you would stand, please. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Verse 4, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You may be seated. Here, when I look at verse 1 and 2, after the death of Moses, the Lord spoke to Joshua. Oh my, do we need God speaking in our lives today? We have a lot of voices, but we need God. We need the voice of God speaking into our life. But when I look at verses 1 and 2, I see God lays out a plan. God has a plan here that he lays out. And there's not one detail taking place here that has caught God by surprise. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. It was all part of God's plan. Moses died. It was all part of God's plan. Joshua is the new leader. It was all part of God's plan. God's going to have them cross over the Jordan. Again, it was all a part of God's plan. And what I want us to see here in this passage, God is active. He is working. He is actively involved. You know, if we would have been there when that was taking place, I couldn't help but think, man, God, what are you doing? Moses died. We just lost our leader. And, oh, by the way, we're up against this Jordan River at flood stage. We need to cross that. And now our leader dies. Talk about timing. God, what in the world are you doing? Are you actively involved? Do you care about us? Did you forget about us? But no, God was actively working. He had a plan in place. He was going to guide them. He was going to direct them. And here we see God has called Joshua to step out in faith. God was calling Joshua to step out in faith. And God is preparing His people for something that would result for His good, for God's glory, but also for their good. I couldn't help but think, in our lives, what is God preparing you for at this moment in your life? Sometimes we feel like we're right up against that Jordan River. And God, it looks impossible. It looks big. It's intimidating. God, where are you at? And God, He wants to prepare each of us for whatever it is that we face in life. He wants to remind us that He will be with us. He will walk with us each step of the way. And I think we need to be reminded to look for those times where God is preparing us for something. And we don't always know what's out ahead. But again, God is actively working. He has a plan in place. You know, we will continue to face situations in all of life where we don't know what to do, or maybe we don't know what's out ahead. We come to a crossroad. Talk about a crossroads here. Wow, it doesn't get much bigger than that. But when I think about our lives, many times we find ourselves at a crossroad. And we don't know what all lies ahead. Are we people of faith? Do we walk by faith? Or do we walk by sight? You know, when I think about walking by faith, faithfulness is let's go forward to where God is leading. I want to be a faithful believer, a faithful Christian. Where God is leading, I want to say yes. I want to go where God is leading. The opposite of that is faithlessness. Faithlessness. Let's go back to where it's safe. Let's go back to where it's safe. God is calling us to be faithful, to walk in faithfulness, to move forward and allow God to guide and direct our lives. And I just want to remind us again this morning that God is a faithful God. We can count on Him. He will never, ever let you down. God is a faithful God. We can trust Him. And He is actively working in our lives. Even in those times when it seems like, God, what are you doing? And we're not sure if He's working. But He is. He cares. And He's working in each of our hearts and each of our lives. So here in these first two verses, we see that there's a plan. God has a plan in place. The next two verses, in verses 3 and 4, we see God's provision. How God provided. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, I have given you. Look at the verb. Look at the verbiage on that. I have given you, the verb tense. It's like it's already done. He said, I have given you. It's like it's already happened. It's already taken place. You see, God is going before him. He's saying, trust me. Allow me to guide you. Allow me to direct you. You can put your trust in me. The divine provision of God. You know, God is saying to us, look at my faithfulness. Look at my character. Look at my reputation. I am Yahweh. You can trust me. You can put your confidence. You can put your trust in me. I believe that's what God was reminding Joshua here. I am a faithful God. I will continue to provide for you. He says, every place your foot treads, I have given you. We see the execution of God's will. It's already done. You can count on it. God is going to go before you, Joshua. I believe that's the message that we need to be reminded of today. The church. God, if we allow God to go before, we can trust Him. We can allow Him to guide us. He is a faithful God. Do you see the provision of God in your life? Do you look for the provision of God in your life? 2 Peter chapter 2. Just a few verses here. 2 Peter chapter 2 says this. According to His divine power. Let me back up. According to His divine power. Talking about God's divine power. Has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue. Do we believe that verse today? Is that verse not for us? According to His divine power, He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him. Do we understand that? Do we believe that? That God has made that kind of provision for us. God has given us His Holy Spirit. Talk about provision. Talk about providing for us. He has given us the Holy Spirit. God is faithful. He is a faithful God. He provides for His people. So here we see God's plan. We see God's provision. And next I would point out in verse 5, God's promise. God's promise here in verse 5. Let me just turn back to that in verse 5. God's promise. No man shall be able to stand before you. Promise. All the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Promise. I will not leave you. That's a promise. I will not forsake you. Promise. Look at God's promises that He gave Joshua. The same promise for us today. God will not leave you. God will not forsake you. As He was with Moses, He will be with each of us. The promises of God. You know, sometimes when we're facing things in life, and you know, let's be just honest. Life isn't always easy, is it? We face things at work. We face things in our personal lives. We face things in church. Life isn't always easy. And sometimes it feels like God is forsaking you or forsaking me. That's what it feels like. But you see, the feeling that God is leaving you or forsaking you doesn't lie in God's character. It doesn't lie in God's character. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Think about this. What does that promise produce in your life, in the life of a believer, when we believe that? What does that promise produce in a person who believes? It produces confidence, assurance, belief, walking in victory. Are you living your life in such a way that you demonstrate that promise? Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go into all the world, make disciples. How is that text ended, those verses ended? Lo, I am with you always. Man, can we wrap our mind around that thought? You know, we have the Holy Spirit that resides in us. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is with you until the end of life. Jesus is with you till the end of your life, until He comes back. If we could get a hold of that. You know, when I think about Joshua here, and we look at the Old Testament, we know how the Holy Spirit came upon the men of old, but He came upon them for a specific time and for a specific purpose. In the New Testament, He resides in us. He's not just coming for a time, but He comes and He resides in us. He is in us. He is with us. He is with us all the time to guide and to direct our lives and our steps. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God's promises. Do we believe God's promises? So we see God's plan, God's provision, God's promise. Next, I would point out God's prerequisite. And that is in verse 6. Now, let me just say that a prerequisite is something required, a prior condition, something required in advance for something else to happen. So here in verse 6, what is the prerequisite? Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and of good courage. You know, I believe God was telling Joshua here, I have given you a plan. I have made provisions. I have given you promises. And now, because of that, be strong and be courageous. I told you I won't leave you. I will be with you. I told you my plan. Now go. Be strong and be courageous. You see, the call to be strong and courageous is sandwiched between the promise that God will be with him. God will be with him. You know, if I'm Joshua, I'm saying, boy, you know what, God? Did you forget about the fact that that Jordan River is right here? And by the way, when we cross the Jordan, I think there's seven nations over there looking to take our heads off. You know, if ever there could have been fear, it would have been with Joshua. God, how are you going to work all this out? And God says, do not fear, but be fearless. You see, God's reputation was at stake. And you know, Joshua had the privilege. He served under Moses. Wasn't he like his first commander or something in line? But he served under Moses. And he had seen how God had worked and how God had used Moses. And I believe for Joshua, what we see here, it's the passing of an heir, but not the ending of a promise. The passing of an heir, but not the ending of a promise. Now, I'd like you to think for a moment on what God did not tell Joshua here in this text. Okay? Think for a moment on what Joshua, on what God did not say. He tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. He did not say, you know what, Joshua? You look within yourself. You look within yourself. You're a big man. I think you can figure this out. He did not tell Joshua to be confident. No. God calls Joshua to remember his promise, his character, to remember the provision that God had provided in the past. We see that Joshua cannot move forward timid and afraid. Joshua, be strong, be courageous, be of good courage. Too many times we try to look ahead and maybe we want to walk in fear and we're timid. And we're like, God, where are you at? Are you leading here? And we tend to walk in fear. We tend to be timid. We tend to be afraid. You know, we see that Joshua, I believe that Joshua could not move forward, at least in the will of God, timid and afraid. And I want to remind us as believers, neither can you. Neither can I. 2 Timothy 1:7. Turn to that verse. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1 says it this way. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Are you timid? Are you fearful? If so, you can be assured that it is not from God. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says this. Hebrews 13, looking at verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not what? Fear. What can man do to me? God calls us to put our confidence and our assurance in Him. To be courageous. To walk, to move forward. To be strong, to be courageous. So here we see God's plan, God's provision, God's promise, God's prerequisite. And now, the fifth one is God's precepts in verse 7 and verse 8. God's precept. And a precept is a rule or principle prescribing a particular course of action. So we think about the precepts of God. We think about the precepts of God. And I just, let me read these verses again, verse 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous. You see the intensifier there. This is the second time God is saying, be strong, be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You see, what God communicates to Joshua here in this passage is exactly what Joshua needed to hear at that moment. And I would propose, church, this is the message that we need to hear today at this moment. Do we see what God is saying here? God tells Joshua, He commands Joshua to obey the Word of God. He points him to God's Word. He points him to the law, to walk in obedience. What does God say? Do not turn to the left hand or to the right. You see, the success of Joshua's mission would lie in his personal obedience to the law. You know, the law was already written at this time, and it was held to be authoritative. But God points him to the law. He points him to His Word. And again, we see that the success of Joshua's mission would lie on his personal obedience to the law. Joshua is being commissioned by God, and he is receiving direct revelation from God. And you know what God is telling him? Look at my law. Look at my Word. Look what I have given you. He tells Joshua, look at my Word and what? Obey it. Look at my Word. Obey my Word. He doesn't tell him to look for some kind of emotional experience. He doesn't say, watch out for a sign. In the past, God has done that. Told him to look for a sign, but not this time. He tells Joshua, look at my Word and do it. Obey my Word. God tells him the key to success in this commission is to obey my Word. Do not go to the left hand. Do not go to the right. Don't go outside of what I have given you. I believe that would be the message for us as a church today. God has given us His holy Word. Is it the rule and guide of your life? Is it the rule and guide for my life? God has given us His Word. God is telling us, obey my Word. Read my Word. Meditate on my Word. Understand what my Word says. And by all means, obey it. (Clears throat) In this passage, we see the priority it was to have in Joshua's life. You know, this was true for Joshua, and it's true for us today. Fill your heart and mind with the Word of God. Study God's Word. Know what it says. Study God's Word. Spurgeon made this quote. He said, Bibles that are falling apart usually belong to people who are not. I like that. You know, there are so many places to go today. There's so many books to read. There's so many things that we can study. And I guess that's okay. But you know what? First and foremost, what does God's Word say? And how am I applying that to my life? What does God's holy word say? I heard a preacher say one time that when God wants to make the angels laugh, he reads commentaries. Now, that's probably not true, but I thought it was kind of humorous. But the importance of reading God's word, of knowing God's word. You know, here in verse 7 and 8, it starts out with obedience and it ends with obedience to God. You know, as it was for Joshua, it's just as important for us. And you know, I couldn't help but think, Joshua was a busy man. Does anybody think that Joshua was not a busy man? I mean, he's leading this nation, he's the military leader, he's got all this responsibility, he's got all these things he needs to accomplish. You know what I sometimes am guilty of? You know what, I'm a little bit busy today, maybe I'll skip my devotions. Joshua studied the law. He studied God's word. He knew what it said. I trust it's your heart's desire to be biblical, to stand on the authority of God's holy word, to allow it to be the guide and the rule for your life. You know, I really appreciated the time of worship, and I just really appreciate being able to worship God with a body of believers. And you know, and today we hear a lot about worship. We hear a lot about worship on what that looks like for the church. And I want to suggest to you that the greatest form of worship is when we sit down to read God's holy word with the intent to obey it. I believe that brings worship to God, to our Heavenly Father. I trust as I look at this audience today, I trust that you know what it is to be radically saved. I forgot to say hi from Dean Elliott. I was in the prayer room there just kind of getting ready here for this morning, and my phone rang and it was Dean Elliott. I believe he was here when he was Bible school and shared. And I think I mentioned to him about how talk about a life that's been transformed, turned around. He's preaching this morning, and he called and said, Brother Jay, I got to preach. Would you pray for me? I forgot it's so late thought I was in Pennsylvania. But he sent his regards. He said, tell the brothers and sisters at Shiloh I send my regards from Brother Dean. But you know, I mentioned how Dean, it's what should happen when a man meets God. Radical conversion, radical change. People in the community said, what in the world happened to Dean? He's not the same man he was. You know, I had a lady tell me, a local lady said, I think something is wrong because he's so different. I said, lady, he met Jesus. He's a changed man. But it's what should happen when we meet Jesus. And I trust that you know what it is to be radically saved, to be radically changed around by the power of the gospel. Listen, if you are called to a place of radical belief, you are also called to a place of radical obedience. What priority does God's word have on your life? How is it impacting your life today? May we be passionate that as believers, may we be committed to obeying God's holy word. That we would walk in obedience. That we would have a renewed zeal, a renewed enthusiasm to be obedient, to come under the authority of God's holy word. Through God's word, Joshua would receive direction motivation, instruction, comfort, exhortation, all through God's Word. Brothers and sisters, the same thing applies to us. If you're looking for comfort, if you're looking for exhortation, if you're looking for direction in life, if you're looking for motivation, if you're looking for instruction, by all means, first and foremost, go to God's holy word. What is the best way to be obedient to the word of God? In this verse says, don't let it depart from your mouth. Do not let the word of God depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Meditate in it. You know, when you face life's joys and successes, what should come from your mouth? God's word. When you face temptation, when you're in the battle, yes, we are in the battle. If you don't sense a battle in your life, check your faith. We are in a battle. When you face trials, when you face temptations, what should come to your mind? God's word. What did Jesus use when Satan came to tempt him? God's word. How can the Holy Spirit bring to our minds scripture to throw back at Satan when we don't know what it says and we don't put it in there? If it isn't in there, the Holy Spirit can't pull it out. Amen? When we fall short and find ourselves living in sin, and that happens because we are in the flesh. It's the sanctification process. Hopefully we are growing in the Lord. But you know what? I fall and I fail and I come short. And I go to God's holy word to see what it says, because it tells me how to get in the right relationship with God. God's word. It should be in you. It should be a part of you. It should be in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, in your very being. He says, meditate in it day and night. Meditate. God tells Joshua to meditate on the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. What would our spiritual lives look like if we took that verse seriously? What does it mean to meditate? Meditate is defined in Webster's as to think deeply. The application is to read with thoughtfulness, to linger over God's word, to ponder, muse, involving half aloud reading and rereading of God's word. It's not this quick, read my chapter for the day. It's taking that passage and rereading it and reading it again and reading again. God, what are you saying to me in that passage? Half aloud reading, and I read it again. That's meditating on God's word. In the Hebrew language, meditate means to chew, to digest, allow it to become a part of your very being. You know, someone said it like this: God's word is a gold mine. God's word is a gold mine. The more you meditate, the more goodness you get out of it. Pebbles are found on the surface, but if you want diamonds, you got to go deep. God tells Joshua, you shall meditate. Thinking about God's word, what are we told in the New Testament? 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God, approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. I like that. Why? What's the purpose? What's the result of meditating on God's word? It changes us. It changes me. It changes you when we meditate on God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Again, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. I don't really look at the Amplified as a translation, but as adding extra words to give more description. But 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this: every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for the training in righteousness, holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. I like that. So that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you see the importance of getting into God's holy word? Understanding what it says. I want to encourage us to walk in obedience to God's holy word. To meditate on it. Determine to base your life on the word of God. Dig deep into the word of God and apply it in your life. There's something else that I want us to see in this passage that is very important. In this verse, what is God meaning by success? You shall meditate in it day and night, and you shall observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What does that mean? What is success? What is he talking about here in this verse? Now, I don't believe he's talking about prosperity. I don't believe he's talking about financial success. I don't believe God is telling Joshua that when you get over the Jordan River, I'm going to give you palaces and mansions and land. I'm going to give you all of this stuff. I don't believe that's what God was telling Joshua here. What I believe God is talking about, what I believe success here is this, is Joshua knowing and doing the will of God in his life. Knowing and doing the will of God in his life. That is success. God has said, my will for my people, this is what he's telling Joshua, my will for my people at this time is to cross the Jordan and enter into the promised land. And if you know this, and if you act upon it, and are obedient to me, then you will be successful. If you act upon my word, you will be aligned with my will. If you act upon my word, you will be aligned with my will. I believe that is what success is here in this verse. Biblical success. You see, biblical success is being what God wants you to be. Amen? That is biblical success. It is doing what God puts in front of us at that moment. Applying God's word, listening to what God says at that moment, acting upon God's word, aligning my will with God's word. I believe success here is receiving a crown, not a correction at the end of life. A worker that does not need to be ashamed. What is God's will for you? What are you doing? What are you actively doing to align yourself with God's will for you? The clearest expression of God's will for you is found right here. It's in God's holy word. This is where you will find God's will for your life. And I want to encourage us this morning, know it, study it, believe it, speak it, and by all means, live it. And you will find yourself experiencing success. Verse 9. I already talked about God's plan, God's provision, God's promise, God's prerequisite, God's precepts. And the last one that I want to give you is God's power. Thinking about God's power. And here in verse 9, let me read it. Have I not commanded you? Had I not commanded you? It's a rhetorical question. Had I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The third time, God tells Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. Have I not commanded you? You see, it demands a response from the hearer. Have I not commanded you? Oh yes, God. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Be strong, be courageous, I will be with you. God's word demands a response. What will you do with God's holy word? How will you seek to apply it in your life, in your daily living? How does applying God's word affect you as a radical New Testament believer today? You know, in this passage, we get to look ahead and we get to see what happens. And just turn the page not far, the crossing of the Jordan River. And you know what? Here they were. Crossing the Jordan River. And God gave them very specific instructions. In fact, what time is it here? I asked Jerry how long I had, and he said he did. Well, anyway, we'll let that go. But he gave very specific instructions. They were to step down into the water. They were to step down into the water. But very clear instructions given. I don't know about you. Jerry, I think I would have probably just stood there on the bank and said, okay, God, I'm waiting. But those waters did not part until they stepped into the water. They were obedient to what God's word said. And when they did their part, God did his part. Chapter 6. What happened? We know God led the children of Israel. Remember Jericho. Remember Jericho and how God commanded them to march around the walls of that city. And you know what? He commanded them to march around the walls of that city. And it's a picture of how God's power and their obedience brought down those walls. God's power and their obedience brought down those walls. And I'll remind us today, battles are not won by large armies or the quality of weapons. We get it so backwards. Or by the amount of chariots or horses. They are not won by human strength. They are won by the power of God. May we not forget that. Battles are won by the power of God. You see, it's not on human strength. It's by the power of God. Battles are won by divine power. What battles are you fighting? What power are you looking to in that battle? God is saying, I'm all powerful. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Do not fear. Put your confidence, put your trust in me. Do not fear. I need to show you this yet. In all this passage on be strong, be courageous, walk in courage. The very last book of the Bible, Revelations. Let me turn to it real quickly. Revelations 21. First, the chapter starts off talking about a new heaven and a new earth. Talks about God. It says here, and he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and they shall be my people. They shall be my sons. Look at verse 8. Here is a description of those who were cast into the lake of fire. What's the first word mentioned there? But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murder, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But I find it interesting, the first description is cowardly. Does that not make you take a step back and say, when I face situations in life, am I going to be a coward? Or am I going to move forward by God's strength and the power of His Holy Spirit? I don't know about you, but whenever I face something difficult, I don't want to be described as a coward. I want to go forward in the strength and the power of God. I want to remind us this morning that the power of God is greater than anything that you will face in this life. We looked at God's plan, God's provision, God's promise, God's prerequisite, God's precepts, and then lastly, God's power. I need to bring this to a close. As you look at this chapter, as you apply this to your life, what is God saying to you this morning? What is he speaking into your heart? What does he want you to know? What does he want you to do? I think of Paulette in Jamaica quite a number of years ago. Revival was over. The doors were closed. There was a big bus that came down to Alligator Pond. The lights are out of the church. Paulette is there talking to the evangelist. And somebody came off the bus and said, "Paulette, we got to go. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's waiting. We got to go now." I'll never forget it. She turned around and she said, "I will not leave till I get what I came for." Many times I've thought, what if I would approach God in that kind of way? "God, I will not leave till I get what I came for." For you this morning, are you fearful? Are you fearful? Be strong. Be courageous. Do you understand? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? When the lights are dark and you say, "God, where are you at? Did you forget about me?" Do you understand deep down in your soul, God has a plan. God has a purpose. He has not forgotten about you. He's not forgotten about any of us. You see, God is actively working. Even when we don't see it, God is actively working in our lives. What is God preparing you for at this moment in your life? Maybe God is calling you to step out in faith, to trust Him, to step out in faith, to walk in faith. Maybe God is calling you. Maybe He's showing you the importance of God's Word. And you just want to say, "God, I hear that. God, I want to get back into God's Word again. I want to make it the rule and guide of my life. The rule and guide for my life." Maybe God is saying, "Be faithful. Get into my Word." What is God saying to you? Maybe God is reminding you the importance of obedience. To walk in obedience as radical New Testament believers. To walk in joyful obedience to God's holy word. Is it your desire to be biblical? To stand on the authority of God's holy word? To walk in obedience? Maybe this morning you just want to say, "You know what? God, I acknowledge you speaking into my life. And I just want to say yes. I want to say yes to you." I don't know what God is speaking to you this morning. But I want to just encourage you as a body of believers, as members of this church, if God is speaking to your heart, say yes. Allow Him to guide you. Hold out your hand and say, "God, here it is. Guide me one step at a time." We want to see far down the road. God gives us just enough light. He says, "Trust me." I want us to just pause and everyone to just bow their heads. And if God has laid something on your heart, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, that you just want to recognize, that you want to say, "God, I hear your voice. And God, I want to do it. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful." Father, right now, I just thank you for this body of believers that you have called together here called Shiloh. Father, I thank you for each one. I thank you for each member. I thank you for the gifts that you have brought to this body through each individual member. And Father, this morning, as we look at your word, Father, as we're challenged by your word, Father, we just invite your Holy Spirit to illuminate in our hearts what it is that you want to say to us. What it is that you want us to know. Father, your word demands a response. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just go from heart to heart here, Lord. And if there's something that you would have, Lord, something that would be identified in anyone's life, that they just want to stand and acknowledge and say, yes, God, I hear your voice. And by your grace and by your enabling power, I want to move forward. So, Father, I just invite you to have your perfect way here. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. I'd like everyone just to keep their heads bowed. And we're not going to sing an invitation song. I think sometimes when it comes to invitations, you know, if God is speaking to your heart, you know that. And I just want to invite you this morning, if that is the case, if God has spoken to your heart, and you say, I want to do business with God, I just want to give you an opportunity just to stand to your feet. We're going to have a word of prayer for you. Anyone this morning, if God has spoken to your heart, just give you opportunity to stand to your feet. Just acknowledge that to God. Is there anyone this morning?